Howdy ho, I'm Eric Deatherage.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thanks for joining us again this week for another episode of Prairie Beat.
If you're new to it, it's our weekly news podcast here at Prairie Public. Oh, Danielle, what's up this week?
Well, this week we're just going to jump right in because, you know, we got to get to this before anything else happens. There's been a few more measles cases confirmed by the State Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I can't believe we're revisiting this, but I mean, there are a lot of states that are going through this right now, and North Dakota is one of them, but it just seems like one of those highly preventable things.
So yes, the last couple of years, there's been significant outbreaks of measles. Last year, North Dakota actually had the highest rate of positive measles cases per 100,000 people, with 36 confirmed cases in the state, and then it just sort of stopped for a while. And then at the beginning of this month, on February 3rd, one singular case of measles was confirmed in Williams County. And that's actually where a lot of the outbreak happened last year.
Yeah, I remember that. A couple hundred kids had to stay home from school to quarantine, right?
Yes, they did. And since that first case on February 3rd, over the past week and a half, specifically, six additional cases were confirmed. And they were actually confirmed in Pembina County. Now, that's on the opposite side of the state from Williams County. It's up in the northeasternmost corner of North Dakota. So I got on the horn this morning with Health and Human Services.
Molly Howell, Director of Disease Control and Forensic Pathology for the North Dakota Department of Health and Human Services.
I started out by asking Molly Howell to just give me a general update on what's been going on with this outbreak of seven total so far.
Four of those cases have been unvaccinated, two fully vaccinated, and one has an unknown vaccination status, and two individuals have been hospitalized.
Well, that's really interesting. I know that the measles or MMR vaccine is pretty effective, so it's a little jarring, I must say, to hear that at least two of these patients had in fact been vaccinated.
So after one dose, it's 93% effective, and after two doses, 97% effective, but it's not 100% effective. So that means 97% effective means that three out of 100 vaccinated individuals who are exposed to measles will go on to develop measles.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But it does seem like out of the positive pool so far, the breakthrough rate is a little inflated.
There are other things that can be at play here, too. She told me that if someone is immunocompromised, it can affect how the effectiveness of the vaccine is. And she also mentioned that there was a period of time in the 1960s where there was an inactivated vaccine series that wasn't as effective as the live series. So those folks might have had that vaccine. And last year, none of the 36 people who did test positive for measles were vaccinated. So those were all unvaccinated people last year. And one other thing that was interesting about this outbreak is that of these seven current positive cases, five are adults. One case is a child under five. The other is a child between 5 and 19. But all the other cases are adults over the age of 20.
Huh. Well, I'd have to imagine that after a cluster of positive cases being identified and how contagious, absolutely amazingly contagious, not in a good way, this virus is, I mean, there's got to be more measles circulating out there that we just don't know about.
Correct. And she did tell me that. HHS does a lot of interviewing during an outbreak so they can notify people who may have been exposed directly and then warn the public of any places that they may have been where there was an exposure. And this is because, like we just said, you know, measles is super contagious. It's airborne. It can linger for hours. And she says that from what they can gather, there probably are other cases out there that just either aren't coming in for testing or they haven't been identified yet.
Yeah, I think that there is a fairly high likelihood that we will have additional cases.
The incubation period is about 7 to 14 days, and symptoms can develop about 10 to 12 days after exposure. And if you go to the measles dashboard on the Health and Human Services website, they actually have a list of public places of exposure that you can look at. It's way too long to actually list here. So you can look there, check to see if you've been anywhere that you could have been exposed to measles. And if you have and you're not vaccinated, it's recommended that you quarantine, stay home for 21 days to prevent it from spreading further.
There's a lot of variables that go into, you know, an outbreak and how long it will last or how many cases you'll see. And it's really up to the community to decide that. If you have high rates of measles vaccination, then you're going to be less likely to have an outbreak or less likely to have more cases. For measles, because it is so contagious, you really need a 95% vaccination rate to prevent the spread.
Molly Howell said it's also highly dependent on people getting tested and cooperating with public health during those interviews, providing information on contacts, where they've been, all that stuff.
Danielle, do you know what the current vaccination rate is in North Dakota for measles? Because that has been an issue for a while now. Declining public trust in vaccines has led to falling vaccination rates that go hand in hand and thus higher rates of disease.
Molly Howell told me that last year's kindergarten vaccination rate for MMR was just about 90%. So that is pretty good, yeah. But it's not that 95% that they like to see that kind of keeps they like to call it a herd immunity up. But Pembina County actually does have, she said, a 95% vaccination rate.
Yeah, it's kind of out of the two corners, northwest and northeast, are the ones that are having the outbreak issues.
If I remember correctly now, the first case in Pembina County was actually, they acquired it from the contact in Williams County, I believe so.
Well, yes. And getting back to the early COVID days, right? Contact tracing. I wonder how much of that is going on right now.
A lot. She also reminded me that after last year's outbreak, there was more interest in the MMR vaccine. So parents who maybe hadn't vaccinated their kids yet were showing up, starting to do that, or at least asking about it. And she also said that in Pembina County, they're recommending accelerated and early vaccination too. So that can help get more people protected.
All right, then, Pembina County, we're looking at you. Place to watch, I guess.
The list of exposure locations on the website had a lot of spots listed in Cavalier, but I also saw Grand Forks, Fargo, Walhalla, and even Colfax was on there, too. So if you're in those communities, it couldn't hurt to just check that out and see if you've been in at any of those places. And one last thing, Molly Howell did mention that for folks who are interested in the MMR vaccine, it's widely available at primary care providers, public health units, all over the place. And there are no barriers or anything keeping those vaccines from anybody who wants them. There's no cost, nothing. So she recommends folks talk to their doctor about that.
Well, alrighty then, as usual, we'll be keeping a sharp eye on this developing story here at Prairie Public. Thanks for all that, Danielle. What else is going on in the state of things in North Dakota this week?
Trade is not something that happens overnight. You have to spend years building relationships and making contacts and developing a trust with trading partners.
Well, we ran a Harvest Public Media story about Congress voting to repeal President Trump's tariffs on Canada. There's a lot of agricultural interests on that.
I am very impressed with a significant number of the candidates.
The North Dakota University System is working on finding 3 new college presidents. And police in Fargo are still looking for Isadora Wengel's remains. She's the young woman who went missing last month from West Fargo.
We now find ourselves in the midst of a midwinter thaw, which may reveal her whereabouts.
Public searches have been organized, and those efforts are ongoing. Her boyfriend has been charged with her murder.
Yeah, I know her father thanked volunteers who were out in near downtown Fargo last week, and they're doing another search in Otter Tail County this weekend. So awful, awful story. Very, very tragic. Hopefully you resolve soon. Okay, Danielle, thanks for all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for this week's Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.